Amen. Praise the Lord for that special tonight. Praise the Lord again for opportunity to be in church this evening. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of Acts chapter 4. On Wednesday nights, we've been studying the life of the Apostle Peter, And we've been studying it way back to where he was saved and then called by the Lord Jesus Christ to become, to make him fishers of men. We've studied his life through the Gospels to see how he has he was discipled by the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's important because as we study this, we're looking at it through the life of Peter. And every one of these experiences, every one of these recorded events that God has given to us, we're looking at it through the eyes of Peter and how the lesson, the message that God has for us through the life of the Apostle Peter. In the apostolic age now, as we got through the Gospels and looking at the life of Peter after the resurrection and then the ascension of Jesus Christ, in the apostolic age, Peter is now doing what Jesus discipled him to do. That's a blessing there. When you study his life and you see all the lessons that Jesus taught him, all the different times that he was stubborn and Jesus had to put him in his place and had to allow him to see Christ and how he would represent him. And I wonder sometimes just are we actually doing what Jesus has discipled us to do? And I trust that we are. I trust that that's our desire. I trust that's our goal. 8 weeks earlier, we find that the Sanhedrin Council voted to have Jesus crucified. Now, as we look here in the life of Peter in the book of Acts, Peter is taking on the ministry that God called him to. We find the first healing miracle, a miracle of healing by Peter, and healed the lame man. And then he was arrested and questioned by the same Sanhedrin council that had voted to crucify Jesus. And that's where we're at. They bring him out, and he preached to them. And now we find their response. Their response. After Peter's presented Jesus, we studied this last Wednesday night, Peter presented Jesus as the cornerstone of faith, the cornerstone of true doctrines, the cornerstone of religious faith. He is the Messiah. And that was Peter's message to the Sanhedrin when they called him out. And that's what he said. Now tonight, if you will stand with me, we're going to be reading. Hopefully that's got you up to where we're at here this evening. We're going to continue with Acts chapter 4, verse 13 down to verse 15. Because verse 13 down to verse 15, four things to learn from this recorded encounter with the Sanhedrin, or if you will, the Antichrist of the day, as we have to face the world and religious rulers. The very same thing that we find here recorded by how that they responded to Peter's message is how the world will respond to us. And we need to have the testimony that I believe Peter had. And so here in Acts chapter 4, let's look at verse 13. The Bible says, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled." This is the same Sanhedrin that had Jesus crucified, voted to have Jesus crucified. "And they took knowledge of them, that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves." And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you tonight, we do thank you, Lord God, for just the blessings that you bestow upon us, the health and the opportunities that you make available to us to come together to worship you. And I pray, Father, for all that are in this auditorium as well as in the gymnasium and those at home, that God, that we would just put everything else out of our hearts and minds and that we would focus on that message that you have for us tonight, that which will strengthen us and our witness for thee. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. So four things as we study here, four things to learn from what has been recorded in this encounter with Peter and the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin, again, they were antichrist. They were religious leaders, but they had just had voted to have Jesus crucified. And so they would be like religious leaders today that do not believe in the teachings of Christ, as per the teachings of Christ, as per the Bible. They would be somewhat like a worldly group of individuals that have no idea about the reality of Christianity. And so we find here Peter's testimony, and we know that he presented Jesus as a cornerstone of true doctrines, which should be our testimony. Our testimony in the world, no matter what the world thinks, is that Jesus is the cornerstone. He's a cornerstone to morality. He's a cornerstone to standards. He's a cornerstone to doctrines. That should be our testimony. Even as we face an ungodly world and a world that is getting worse and worse all the time, the light of the church and the light of believers ought to be the same. Jesus and his teachings are still the cornerstone of faith. And we must look to him to know what is truth. So first of all, as Peter did this, as Peter had the testimony that he was discipled and to have in the apostolic age, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John. Now, John is with Peter, but again, we're focused on Peter, the life of Peter. So we're looking at how Peter was able to present the testimony. We're looking how they responded to Peter here. And so they saw the boldness in Peter. They brought Peter out and they put them in the midst, the Bible says, and all the Sanhedrin and all those who were anybody in religion surrounded them to intimidate Peter and to get him to possibly to deny that this healing that they had experienced was not of Jesus Christ. But Peter was not intimidated. We studied that when we went through the message that he preached, and he very clearly took the stand against the Sanhedrin and for Christ as the healer of this impotent man. So Peter was not intimidated by their positions of authority in the world. They were not intimidated by the positions of authority in the world. Now, we honor positions, and all authority is under God's control. But when there is an authority that goes opposite what God would have us to do, then we bypass that authority and continue to look to the authority of Christ. I didn't know just how that would play into our church in this 20 and what's going on in the 21st century that we're facing right now, because there's a lot of positions that are off in the direction that they're wanting to lead people and the direction they're wanting the world to go. And Christianity, no matter what these authority figures present, we should not be intimidated and bow down to their authority when their authority and their direction is opposite that of Christ. And so I think we all are in aware of that, and we're in agreement with that. And so Peter was not intimidated by their positions, but they knew. And we're looking at how Peter's testimony impacted the world, how Peter's testimony impacted even the Antichrist of the world. Peter, they knew, the Sanhedrin, who thought that they could intimidate Peter, and get him to bow down to them and to say what they wanted him to say. They knew that Peter knew that they could have Peter crucified. They knew that Peter knew that they could have him crucified, because they had Jesus crucified in their hearts and minds. They thought that their position was a higher authority than Jesus, and they thought that their positions, when Jesus would not bow down to them and be intimidated by them, they had him crucified. But that was part of God's plan. That's the only reason that no man could take his life. He laid his life down, but in the world, they, in this position as a Sanhedrin council, they believed that they had that power, they had that authority to have Jesus crucified. And physically, they did. They had the power of the Roman government. So now they come back, and here it is. Jesus was crucified, and Peter was now preaching the very same thing and representing Jesus as the Messiah. And they would have thought that he would see what they could do, and he would be intimidated by them, where he would not continue to glorify Christ. But Peter took a stand. He took a stand. Ephesians in chapter 6, let me just read it to you. Book of Ephesians in chapter 6, talking about the armor that we put on against the enemy, the devil being the enemy, but all of those antichrist leaders and religious leaders as well as worldly leaders, when they're antichrist, they are pawns in the devil's hand. And the Bible says concerning this in verse 13, "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore." Peter had done all. Peter had put on his armor that day. Peter understood that he was representing Jesus Christ. "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness." Can I tell you why Peter was able to be bold in his witness and his preaching? It's because he knew he had the truth. He knew that Jesus was the true Messiah. He was representing Christ, and he had what the Sanhedrin needed to bow down to. He had what the world needed, whether they be religious rulers or the worldly, ungodly rulers in every area. He knew he had the truth. He was bold not to fear being put to death. He didn't fear, even though he knew that they could have put him to death. As they knew that he knew. See, when we believe, when we truly believe we have the truth, we can boldly take a stand for Christ. Even if it means facing death. Wow. Do you think it'll ever get to that point, preacher? It has in the past, and it will in the future. I just don't know if it'd be in our generation or not. In others around the world, this is something, a reality. Facing death for their faith, facing death for their stands, is a reality around the world. And I believe it's coming here to the United States of America. And we need to be bold. Even when it comes to possibly facing even death. In 1 Corinthians in chapter 15, we find as Paul writes the church at Corinth, you'll not have to turn there, but chapter 15 is a tremendous chapter in the Bible because it reveals everything about what we have to look forward to as a church at the return of Christ. Everything we have to look forward to in heaven and glorified bodies and all the different things. And he even says in chapter 15, he says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, whether in life or death. Paul says, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. He would not allow the fear of death to keep him from being bold in his stand for Christ. And then we find he writes this. He says, therefore, knowing all this concerning our glorified bodies, understanding all this concerning how we, even if we have to face death, we have something far greater to look forward to. We have a life in glory. We have glorified bodies. It takes away the sting of death. So he says, knowing this, he says, my beloved brethren, be as steadfast. That means you can stand where God wants you to stand. You can be bold and you can be steadfast and you can be unmovable and always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I love that. That's work. That's our service. That's our testimony. That's our boldness in standing where we need to stand with the truths of Christianity. Can I tell you tonight, all will die. Every one of us in here, if the rapture doesn't take place, every one of us are going to face a physical death. But can I tell you, it's how we live that we should be mostly concerned about. Can't live with fear. Can't live with fear of persecution. Even if the persecution comes by way of crucifixion. Peter said, I'm not going to fear. I know that you're the ones that voted to have Jesus crucified. Peter knew that Jesus could have called down legions of angels. He knew that they could not have taken his life, but he laid his life down. But he's standing before them, even knowing that they could have him crucified. And he said, I will not live by fear. I am here to serve Jesus Christ. And I'm taking a stand, a bold stand, that you crucified the Messiah, the very one that is the reason this man is healed. Yeah, that was his message. And yet they were amazed at his boldness. Yeah, not that they agreed with it, but it had an impact on them. When they knew that he knew that they could have him crucified, and he took a stand, you know what would come to mind? Even if they didn't believe, they knew at that point that he did believe. When we're witnessing to people, whether they believe or not, they need to know that you believe. And if you're bold in your witness, they know that you believe. If you're not intimidated by the world, then they know that you believe. Or you wouldn't live as God would have us to live. So we find here one of the first things we learn from this encounter with the Antichrist is that we need to be bold in our witness because it will impact others. Even if it's not at that particular time, but they realize something was different about this man, Peter, in his boldness and not to be intimidated by them. And go back with me to our text in Acts in chapter 4. The second thing we find here is they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. Can I tell you, most of the world, the ungodly in the world, the antichrist in the world, think that they have greater wisdom, greater understanding of life than Christianity. They really do. I mean, you see it in the politics all the time. especially right now. I'm telling you, they think that everyone that believes in Christianity or these Christian principles has to be unlearned and ignorant men. Because we have the truth. We know how society ought to be run. We know everything about the world. We know everything about everything. And they're so blinded, they can't see the truth that's right in front of them. And they perceived. You perceive with this man that was healed, standing before you, who was born lame, but now stands before you healed. Peter stands before you and witnesses to you, knowing that you can have him crucified. And your answer is ignorant and unlearned. The Bible says the next, and they marveled. They marveled. That's intense surprise. Now, it impacted them. That's what it's revealing to us. As we look to this account, it reveals to us that his testimony, his boldness, marveled them. Because how could someone unlearned and ignorant be so bold and impact my life? It brought conviction, and they didn't even realize what conviction was. But they knew that there's something different about this man. Peter had not been educated or schooled, and yet he spoke with knowledge and authority. And they're thinking, there's no way that you can speak the way that you speak. You can't have the eloquence of preaching, and you can't have the boldness, you can't have the boldness or the power to impact me like that without you being trained to do that. You haven't been to seminary. You haven't been to this. You haven't been to that. You've not been taught this as we have as a Sanhedrin, and we have all the answers and we have all the knowledge. And yet, you have caused us to marvel. They felt it. They didn't understand what it was, but they felt it. When you have the power of God, when you have the truth of God, when you speak the truth of God, it's the truth of God, it's the word of God that penetrates the hearts and the minds of people, even lost. They don't understand it. They're wondering how you was able to bring this into their life, bring this conviction. Sometimes they don't like it, and so they attack that which brings them conviction. Or they will flee that which brings them conviction because they want to hold on to what they believe is truth. But God doesn't necessarily have to have someone who is educated or schooled. I'm for education, I am. But that's not what's going to make you the man that God wants you to be. I'm all for education. That's not what's going to make you the woman that God wants you to be. Spending time with Jesus will. I believe that when you yield to God and you're directed by the Holy Spirit, if you have opportunity, he's going to lead you to get as much education as you can get. He's going to lead you to find out all the knowledge and all the understanding that you can get. But that's not what makes the man. The preacher, the servant of God. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians in chapter 1, and you know this well, but let me read it to you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, in verse 26 down to verse 29, he says, "For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called." You think that's making you the man by the education. That's not it. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not to bring to naught things that are. And this is the reason that no flesh should glory in his presence. Well, it's my education that allows me to do what I do. It's my training. It's my abilities. It's my knowledge. It's my wisdom. No, that's not what God uses, because it takes the glory away from him. I acknowledge I'm unlearned and ignorant in a lot of different things. But I know that I'm preaching the truth when I preach the Bible. And I know that the Bible, the Word of God, will penetrate the hearts and the minds of all people if they'll allow it. Yeah. So they perceived. Peter, unlearned and ignorant. But yet, they marveled at how it impacted them. Go back with me to our text. People need to marvel at how the Word of God impacts their life. Verse 13, here again, the Bible says, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. The only way that they could have this boldness, the only way that they could be able to have this authority and preach with this authority, as far as we can tell, the only thing that set them apart from anyone else and everyone else was they had been with Jesus. Yeah. That's how the world needs to view us. It really is. The greatest compliment that you or I could ever get is that you can tell you've been with Jesus. I love in the first century, they were called Christians first at Antioch. And that was not supposed to be a good thing. They're just like that man Jesus. And today we say, praise the Lord. That's the best compliment you can give me, that I am Christ-like. That I represent Jesus in a way that you can't acknowledge Christ in me. Yeah. Not a product of education, but of being with Jesus. Peter's boldness and power came by being with Christ. See, that's nothing new. When Israel went into the getting ready to go into the promised land after Moses had led them through the wilderness, God spoke to Joshua and to the nation of Israel as they got ready to go into the promised land. But they would have to fight. They would have to take the land that God had given to them. And he says this, have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, discouraged in any way. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. What gave the nation of Israel the boldness to be able to go into the promised land and claim the promised land was the fact that they knew that they had been with God and God was with them. What will give us the boldness, as Peter had the boldness to take the stand and to witness for Jesus Christ, to identify with Jesus Christ, when it's not that popular in society to identify with Christianity, true Christianity. What will give us the boldness to be able to do that is knowing that we've been with Christ. Knowing that I'm just not following a professor at a Bible college. I'm not just following a preacher, even from a Baptist church. No, I'm following Christ. People can tell my life reveals the influence of Jesus on me. Yeah. See, Peter, Jesus came, revealed some things to Peter for Peter to believe that this could be the Messiah. And then as Jesus presented the truth to Peter, then Peter willingly received Jesus as his personal Lord and Savior and committed himself to following him. So he has been now with Jesus who came from heaven. But he's seen him crucified. That could have been the end of it. It would have been the end of it if there had not been a resurrection. But Peter now, not only did he stand with Jesus, was he with Jesus, he's seen Jesus crucified, and he's in a little bit of confusion at that time. But then he sees Jesus resurrected, and Jesus meets with him for 40 days and presenting to him everything that he had prepared him to do in this apostolic age. And then he sees him go back to heaven with the promise of, I'm coming back. That was the impact. That was the influence that Jesus had on Peter. And can I tell you, it's the very same influence that Jesus can have on each and every one of us. And the world will notice true Christianity. They might not agree with it. Most of them will not agree with it. But they will identify you with the teachings of Christ, which is the best compliment that any of us could ever have. Praise the Lord. Last thing, go back with me. Everybody with me tonight? Praise the Lord. I'm telling you, this is a testimony that Peter had that we need to have, because there's a lost and dying world out there that needs to see the testimony of true Christianity. Verse 14. And beholding the man which was healed, standing with them, they could say nothing against it. They witnessed a confirmed miracle of healing, what Peter revealed to be of Jesus. If you remember back in verse 10, this was part of his lesson, his preaching to them. Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. They would have loved to have not believed that. They would have loved to have denied the fact that this man was made whole. Especially by the influence and the power of Jesus Christ, whom they had just had crucified 8 weeks earlier. But they could not deny, even though they wanted to, they could not deny this miracle of healing. Can I tell you today, there are many signs and wonders if you're looking by faith to what God has given to us in revealing signs and wonders. Now, if you're looking to signs and wonders to get saved, you're never going to get saved, because they're not there for the lost, even though they're there. But the lost do not choose to believe them. But when the believers look to them, their faith is increased, and they're able to preach with boldness, and the Holy Spirit of God is able to use their boldness and their stand for Christ to possibly penetrate the hearts and the minds of the lost to get them saved. And when they get saved, they'll be strengthened by the signs and wonders. Creation itself. What a sign and what a wonder. Anyone that knows Jesus Christ as Savior, who believes in a creator God, can I tell you, every day we look around, especially when you get out on a really nice golf course or you get out on a nice lake and you look around and you say, whoa, what signs and wonders that God has given to me. Thank you, Lord, for creating earth and the blessings of the outdoors, the blessings of creation. Yeah. How could anybody dismiss that for evolution? Because they don't want to believe in a creator God. Because if they believe in a creator God, it'll change their thinking and their way of life and the direction of life. They don't want it. We see signs and wonders when we look at this Bible. It records all the way back to the creation of everything. It has recorded in here everything about eternity past that we need to know. It has everything recorded in here about our present day and has everything about what we need to know about eternity future. It's right here. It's a sign, and it's an amazement. It's something that God has given to us. It's a wonder. But the world doesn't see it that way. They want to keep changing it. They want to take out the blood. They want to take out the gender. They want to take out this. They want to take out that. But it is written and preserved exactly today, the way that God wants us to receive it. Sign that God has preserved it, not man. If man preserved it, then there's errors and everything else. If God has preserved it, it is errorless. It has been preserved, every word, just as God wants us to live by every word that proceeded out of his mouth. It's a sign of the reality of God, and it's a wonder that will increase your faith. There's a resurrection. There's the life of Jesus Christ. And our calendars date back to it. A lot of our holidays that is on our Christian calendar, the calendar that we hold to as the United States of America, that they're trying to change a lot of that, but it's there. And it gives us an account of the life, the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's a sign for all that want to look for it. It's a wonder for those who believe in it. It's there. It's impacted our world. Christianity has impacted the world. There wouldn't be Christianity if there was not a resurrection of Jesus Christ. And there's the test of time. The test of time. If this wasn't God's word, it would not have lasted. Christianity was not of God, it would not have lasted. Through the test of time, we have signs and wonders. Praise the Lord. They witnessed a confirmed miracle of healing. If that was not there, I think they would have had them possibly crucified, as they did Jesus, for preaching heresy, and for leading the nation of Israel in a wrong direction. They could have. But because of the proof that they could not deny, we'll find out next week. They have to let them go. Yeah, and just increases the faith of the Apostle Peter to know he's on the right track, doing the right things, accomplishing what God has discipled him to accomplish. I trust we're doing the same thing. Like if every head bowed, every eye closed tonight. Things that we learn that God has recorded with this encounter with Peter and the Sanhedrin Council, which would represent the world, ungodly religious leaders. Oh, how we need to have the same impact on our world today. Father, we bow before you tonight. And thank you, Lord God, for the truth of your word and for this life of Peter and being able to study what you have preserved for us, and pray that we would be helped by it and strengthened by it. I pray that you would now just help us, if we have decisions to make the decisions, whatever that might be, that would draw us closer to you, enable us to accomplish what you want us here to have us here to accomplish. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.